This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. You may be seated. Amen. It's a good thing we put you up first thing in the morning. Everybody is wide awake. All right? Let's put our hands together for the praise team of the youth. All right? The youth church. Amen. Welcome to Wolfpack 2024. And the theme of this is the faith that moves mountains. All right, doing the impossible. Excuse me, please, the sound, please. All right, doing the possible. Faith that moves mountains. Doing the what? Impossible. That's it. All right, so in my first session this morning, in my sessions, as daytime sessions, I want to teach on the subject of faith. And when we started this conference, that's why it's called, it was called the West Africa Faith Believers Convention. It was to reestablish the main truth that actually brought about, you can say, like the little leaven that leavened the entire lump in the charismatic movement. All right, globally. In other words, you had churches that wind, having people like this at 9 a.m. it was unheard of, all right, until people began to understand clearly the issue of the word of faith. And as people began to inject that into their ministries there, things began to explode all over the earth. God raised up Kenneth Hagin. Let me quote Lester Sumrall. Says, God raised up Kenneth Hagin with the revelation, at least in the modern times, the revelation had always existed, and other people had taught it in the past, like people like Charles Price, people like F.F. Bosworth, several people had taught it. But God raised consciously Kenneth Hagin, and as Lester Sumrall said, he put Kenneth Copeland under him, and by the power of agreement between Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland's ministries, it became a global phenomenon. So I'll be teaching on the subject ABC of faith. The ABCs of faith. A will be agree, B will be believe, and C will be confess or speak. So number one, make sure you are in agreement with God. Number two, believe what he has said unto you. And number three, declare it. The Bible says two cannot walk together except they be what? Agreed. And if we walk by faith and not by sight, we can't walk by faith, for two can't walk together except they be agreed. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this great conference, for the outpouring of your spirit. As we go into your word this morning, as the opening session of this conference, I ask that you grant utterance, that you speak to your people in your nature, which is compassion and mercy, that through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, word of wisdom and word of knowledge, I will speak as your oracle in the spirit of prophecy, that your word will go forth unhindered by any demonic force, and our hearts will be established in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and light will shine on our path. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's also welcome the people online. There are thousands of people. More people are watching online. All right? Than we are doing physically. All right, so agree, believe, and confess. Now, it's the faith that moves mountains. Mark chapter 11 and verse 23 says, Mark 11:23. For verily I say unto you, Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart or her heart, but shall believe what? That those things they are saying will come to pass. In other words, a person who is operating in faith knows that they will have no experience that they have not personally voiced out. They believe that what they are saying will come to pass. They believe what they are saying. In other words, you don't expect anything if you are not saying something, because you believe what you are saying. All right? Not that you believe that God can do it. Not that you believe that God is able. But you believe here, all right, that what you are saying will come to pass. So all the belief in God has to be translated into the words that you speak. That you believe what you are saying shall come to pass. The Bible says, what will he or she have? They will have whatsoever they do what? Say. So you don't expect to have anything if you have said nothing. You don't expect 2024 to shape out in any way you are not voicing out now. You don't expect, all right, January, February, March, April, May, June, your future to shape out if you are not giving voice to something. Now, everybody believes that God is able, but few people understand that when God created man and breathed into him the breath of life, the Bible says man became a living soul. That word means man became, the Hebrew sages tell us, another speaking spirit like God. So we are speaking spirit. Now, we are not speaking from ourselves. God breathes into us and we speak forth that breath that has entered into us. Or if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So God's business is to pour it into you. Your business is to pour it out into everything around you. What has not heard your voice will not respond in any way to you. However, let's look at this. So the biggest mountain, this is what I want to share this morning here, is not the mountain on the outside. That's not the problem. Right? It says, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things that he is saying shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Your words will move the mountain, but God has to move something in you before your words can move those mountains. It is God who is at work in you, both for you to will and to do of his good pleasure. You are to work out your own salvation. The biggest miracle happens on the inside of you. And once that work has been done in you, it is very easy to move the mountain. In fact, when that work has been done, the mountain no longer looks like a mountain. If it looks like a mountain, you can't move it. If it looks impossible, you can't change it. By the time you're going to change it with your words, it looks easy. David did not think that Goliath was what other people were calling him. The children of Israel, when they were going into the promised land, Joshua and Caleb did not ever say they were giants. What did they say? They are bred unto us. Their defense has done what? Departed. It was the way they saw. The scripture says that those other ones saw themselves as grasshoppers. And so were they in the sight. All right? And there were giants there. And the sons of Nair would come forth. And we were in our own sight as what? Grasshoppers. And so were we in their sight. How you see yourself is how everything sees you. So if you think that building a church of 100,000 people is a myth and it's only accessible to some, then it will never happen. It will only happen when you know it is easy. And it's only God that can make it easy to you. Do you get what we're saying here? So what's the big mountain that he wants to remove? Unbelief. Because he says, if you will believe that those things that you are saying will come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. So the real mountain is not on the outside. The real mountain is on the inside. Unbelief is what has to be dealt with. Matthew chapter 17, let me show this, verse 16 to verse 21. And I'll show that what God really was saying, or Jesus was saying, was that he said in Mark 11, 23, and I'll show this, we removed prayer from the ecosystem of faith. And that's where we had the problem. We turned faith into something that was metaphysical, not spiritual. Once we removed prayer from the ecosystem of faith, and we said, faith doesn't come by prayer, faith comes by hearing, we ran into trouble. Because what Jesus was saying was that whosoever, he didn't mention God's name in what he said at the beginning in Mark 11, 23. Then he mentioned God after. He says, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he's saying shall come to pass, he will have whatsoever he says. He said, therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, he says, through prayer is the only place you can come to dissolve the issue of doubt. We removed it. And started struggling to produce what God should have gifted us. Matthew 17, look at what he says here. Verse 16 to verse 21. And they brought him to his disciples that they should cure him. And Jesus said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Understand Jesus' ministry. He didn't want people to depend on him. Are you following what I'm saying here? He didn't want the dependent. He said, how long? Are you going to guys be able to do this thing by yourselves? He says, how long will I be with you? Bring him to me. Now, what he did next? Next verse, please. He says, next verse. Jesus rebuked the devil and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from the same hour. Now, he did it by his spoken word. And this is what we're saying. Jesus never, ever once prayed publicly for anybody. Nobody ever came to meet Jesus and said, Jesus, I have an issue. And Jesus says, all right, let's pray to the Father. That's no faith. Are you following what I'm saying? They say, let's pray. All right, let's pray. Father, I'm asking you, heal this person. If they came to meet Jesus, Jesus would just say, go thy way. Do you get what I'm saying here? What was Jesus saying was he would speak to it. Not once. Now, he prayed privately to eliminate everything on the inside. But when he came into public space, he didn't pray for anybody. Nobody came to meet Jesus and said, Jesus, we have an issue. Or he says, oh, the wind is blowing. He says, okay, Father, we are asking you, can you cause this wind to be... Do you get what I'm saying? All he would say is, peace be still. They brought somebody, lowered him from the roof. He didn't pray. He said, as your faith. He marveled at their faith. And he said, so be it unto you. That's done. They brought somebody, but he showed us the secret. When he got to Lazarus' tomb, he said, Father, I thank thee because you have what? Heard me. Heard me is in past tense. He said, that means I've already prayed about this thing. He said, I'm only saying it publicly that they may know that you sent me. But do you know, after he had prayed, Lazarus was still dead. If he didn't go and say, Lazarus, come forth, Lazarus would have remained there. I said, there can be no faith without the spoken word. He would have carried Lazarus' life in him and never said it. In other words, when you pray, God breathes into you. When you speak, you release that breath out. What you have not said will not happen. Everyone gets into it. We walk by faith and not by what? Sight. Faith. Listen, two cannot walk together except they be what? Agreed. Now, we walk by what? Faith. But not by what? Sight. That scripture, if you don't understand, it can be deceptive. Because the Bible says the blind, or I will lead the blind. It tells us that it is a curse to be blind. Isn't that what it says there? That what will he do? He will open your what? Eyes. In other words, a person that is walking by faith is walking by sight of another kind. When you are in agreement with God, you know where God is going and you are following him there. So if you are in faith, you know what will happen by the end of the year. You are saying it. Faith sees. Faith sees clearly. So let's come to verse 18 here. Quickly, my time
is going.
All right? I always remember Dr. Bill Winston says this. His wife would tell him, you've prepared too much. He said, I will finish my message. He said, you can't finish it in the time allotted. He said, by the grace of God, I will do what? I will finish this message. All right, let's look at here. But I know I'm over-prepared. But let's just go here, all right? Because I've written this message months ago. So let me just say this here. And for ministers, if you have meeting, I got this from Pastor Adeboye. Let me just say it. He says, once they finish Holy Ghost Congress, the next week is writing the message for the next one. 2 days to be meeting, you should be resting. Not haka, God. Because that's anxiety that will be made manifest. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right, so let's go on here. Jesus rebuked the devil and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. And the disciples came and said, why could we not cast him out? It wasn't the strength of the demon. Look at what Jesus said. Next verse. Jesus said, because of your what? Unbelief. That's it. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be what? Impossible to you. So if you speak and it doesn't happen, you don't have what is called faith. Now look at what he now says next. He said, this how be this kind, which means this kind, the depth of unbelief, goeth not out, except by what? Prayer and what? Fasting. Now look again, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 6. The Bible says, why could they not enter into his rest? Hebrews 4, 6. It says, because therefore it remained that some must enter in, and to whom it was first preached, entered not in because of what? Unbelief. Now, how is unbelief cured? So I get the message. Unbelief is cured by hearing directly from God. The cure to unbelief is the voice of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, and it gives us the key to faith. It says, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. Now, please get what I'm about to say. Faith doesn't come by preaching. Faith comes by what? Hearing. But it's impossible for you to hear without it being preached. But the fact that it was preached doesn't mean you heard. Okay? So as much as people are preaching and in this conference, what will change your life are the remnants you hear. So you might have come here from Ghana, and maybe there's an issue that you are dealing with, or you are listening, all right, from the United States or from Britain, and there's an issue you are dealing with. Now we're all hearing the same sound, but some people can be hearing remnants, which is, this is the way to go. And it's that voice that you hear in your own spirit that actually causes the miracle to happen. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. All right, it tells us, the word preached did not profit them. So it could be preached. Because it wasn't mixed with faith in them that heard it. So hearing comes by the rhema. But to hear that rhema, to hear that rhema. And let me say something, I'll say it in this message. Many of the things, or before I say this, look at Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Now, the scriptures can be broken. Romans 10, 13. It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they have not what? Heard. And how shall they do what? Hear without a what? Preacher. And how shall they preach except they be sent?" In other words, what you actually hear from God in prayer sometimes is an accumulation of what has been preached to you. Listen, you may not know. Are you following what I'm saying? Because what the Holy Spirit will do is to bring to remembrance all the things Jesus has told you. So what happens is that when you are praying in the Spirit about a situation, the Holy Spirit now starts searching, all right, the avenues of your heart. What he's doing as you're praying in Spirit is he's looking for that scripture he can quicken. And what he's looking at is the accumulation of all the messages that you have heard. Some of them you have forgotten, but the Holy Spirit knows you've heard those things. He's going around. If you don't have enough there, it reads blank. There are decisions I make today that sometimes is the message I heard when I was in church 30 years ago that I used to make decisions. That's why let me tell you this. I don't care who a preacher is. If you are dealing with a man in the spirit, if you put somebody on the rostrum and he starts speaking, you can trace the spiritual lineage of that person because he can only preach from what has been deposited into them. You get what I'm saying? And let me just say this here, because I'm speaking to ministers too. No sheep will hear the voice of a stranger, which means if the sound is strange, nobody will come to you. Therefore, it is important that when you are preaching, if people are going to hear you, you must be speaking from anointings that have done things in the past on the earth. Let me tell you this. One time the usher here came to meet me. He said, "Pastor, we took 20 ushers. 60% of them came from this particular ministry. It's a ministry I've sat under before. It's because the sound is not strange." So all this one is direct revelation from heaven. You are joking. I had a friend tell me this. Vice President of our fellowship, as I said, you remember everything. We are coming out of U218 Marie Hall, 1988. And he told me, he said, "Those who are in ministry are always looking for something new. They want to sound different." 1988. I said, the Holy Ghost uses things. So how does this rhema come? Rhema comes by prayer. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema, but the rhema comes, the word. That's why the Bible says, when they called on God, what did God do? He sent his what? Word. So when the word is sent into a person, faith comes. But that word is only sent to people that do what? Pray. So not all who hear the word of God receive rhemas for their situation. All right? Not all who hear the preach receive rhemas. But you cannot receive a rhema if you are not listening to anybody preaching to you. Because it comes from that store that is all you are reading books that is in your heart. Now let's give an example. Look at Acts chapter 14, verse 6 to verse 11. Now, are you telling me that this is the only man that when Paul went to preach, this is the only man that he was preaching to? Look at it. Acts 14 here. Camera here. There were, all right, of it that fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities in Lycaonia, and unto the regions that lieth round about. Verse 7. And there they preached the gospel. Always. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, who had been crippled from his mother's womb. But he wasn't the only one that had a condition. Who had never walked. The same heard Paul speak. But there were many people that heard Paul speak. Who steadfastly beholding him. In other words, Paul was just steadfast. I mean, I went to preach somewhere on Saturday. As I left, I was leaving the place here, and I saw a young lady. I said, "You got it." She said, "Yes, I got it." I said, "As I was preaching, I looked at your face. There was a point, there was a change. You got it." I said, "Pastor, I got it." So Paul saw something, all right? He steadfastly beholding her, put it there, all right? Perceiving that she had faith to be made whole, all right? Or he had faith to be made, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. So we see that men preach, but God gives remas. Do you understand what I'm saying? Men have gods to preach, but it is only God that can give rhema to the heart of a person. And the person who will receive that rhema that will cure unbelief, right, is because they have gone to God and prayed. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the rhema, and the rhema comes through prayer. Now let me give you an example of hearing. And a young lady came to meet me. She was traveling. She used to live in Uyo, and, well, just cut long story short, her husband was working as a medical doctor. So she was a medical doctor, so she was moving. But he said while he was in school in Luth, he used to come to this church, and that when she took came in, she started coming. Well, she said she was leaving, and she was going to England. When she told me, I shook, and I want to say something. When she said it, I shook. She said, "I got 3 offers for jobs in England. I got one in Liverpool, I got one in Kent, and I got one somewhere else." She said, "That one that is somewhere else," listen to her story. I want to say, when people hear God, he said, "That one that is somewhere else gave me a permanent contract. The one that is in Kent, all right, gave me a 5-year contract with a relocation bonus of £9,000, which means just for relocating, we'll give you £9,000. And you have a 5-year contract." She said the one with the lowest pay was Liverpool, and they gave me a 1-year contract. Said, "But God said to me, go to Liverpool, I'm going to Liverpool." Did you hear what I said? You hear what I said now? Somebody's giving you permanent contract. Another is giving you £9,000. She sat and said, "Pastor, pray for me. I want to show something here. £9,000. And 3-year contract, 5-year contract." The other one says, and with £9,000, the other one says, "Just 1 year." Said, "God says, go to Liverpool." I heard this. I said, "Kneel down. Let me pray for you." I prayed. What I prayed will come to pass. Listen to this. Not because I prayed, but because she obeyed God. Listen to what I'm saying. There's a difference between faith and faith extenders. Many people are turning faith extenders into faith. In other words, if that girl went to Kent in disobedience to the voice of God and knelt down and said, "Pray for me," that prayer won't get anywhere. It is when you have obeyed God that if somebody lays hands, that's what you can call a faith extender. In other words, to amplify what is going to happen in your life. Now, what's happening is you see people running around, what they're looking for is faith extended with them being in unbelief. In many cases, all right, in disobedience. So the issue is, how then do I receive the rhema? I mean, let me give an example here. John chapter 15, verse 7. It says, "If you abide in me, and my remas abide in you," that you've heard what I have to say about it, "you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done." You know, there is a place where it says, if you ask anything according to his will. This one, it says, if you ask your will here. What he's trying to say is that once you've heard from heaven, you will it to pass. You see, a person who has heard from heaven will come out, like prophets of those that says, they'll say this, "Except I'm not a man of God, will what I'm saying not happen?" It is not, they are not depending on the anointing, they are depending on hearing. A Look at what it says here in Isaiah chapter 40, same thing, chapter 44, verse 26 to verse 27. This God now that confirmeth the word of his servant and performeth the counsel of his messenger. A messenger is somebody you sent on a message. Do you get what I'm saying here? A servant is someone who is subservient to you. So it's the servant, is the messenger that was sent. Now, put it back up here. It says, that saith to Jerusalem, thou shalt inhabit the cities of Judah, you shall be built, and I'll raise up the decayed places, all right, of it. So the first law, therefore, of faith, which means how to receive remnants, all right, from God. The first law is this. Faith is to be used to receive only what grace has provided. Let me repeat what I'm saying here. Faith is to be used to receive what grace has provided. Our entire lives on this earth should be downloaded from heaven. In other words, what you should be doing to God is, Lord, not that I set my own personal agenda for 2024, you miss out. But you go to God and pray to God, God, what have you provided for 2024? What have you provided for me? Say, if it's a church in ministry, what have you provided for us here? We are not trying to succeed. What we are trying to do is obeying God, for no person can obey God and the unexpected will not happen. So we go to God here and say, grace has provided, faith receives what grace has provided there. Romans chapter 4, verse 1 to verse 4. This is the turning point. I'm telling you. Put the message translation. This is the turning point. This is the only place where you can get this, how you get the rhema. This is how you get it. For the Bible says that no man of God or no prophet of God spoke, all right, according to their own will, but as they were moved by the Spirit of God. The Bible says Jesus himself, he says, as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is correct because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father. In other words, you may not like it. If God has not said in 2024, you are not traveling, you are supposed to be in Nigeria, you can't download travel. That's what I'm trained to, anyways. Are you following what I'm saying here? You can't say God. I'm telling you, because it is the land that he shows you, not the land you choose. Faith begins by submitting to God. This is why people do not, all right, which means, and I'll show this, if a person loses their job, God has already provided something else. It is not that somebody should come out and say, you know, God, all right, this is what I think should happen. Now, I'm going to exercise faith. Let me go into the scriptures to find a word that will confirm. You have missed it. You go to God there and consecrate 3 days of prayer to offer a prayer of consecration. And you say, God, I'm asking you, what have you provided? Because grace has provided something for this situation. I am at peace because grace has provided something for this situation. If you are in any situation, what God is telling you is grace has already done what? Provided. All he's asking you to do is download what grace has provided. And if you download it, you will know that God loves you. Romans chapter 4, verse 1 to verse 4, Message Translation. So how do we fit what we know of Abraham, our first father of faith, into this new way of looking at things? Verse 2. If Abraham, by what he did for God, got God to approve him, he could certainly have taken credit for it. But the story we are given is a God story, not an Abraham story. Next verse. It says, what we read in scripture is that Abraham entered into what God was doing for him. And that was the what? Turning point. what God is doing in Mr. X's church may not be what he's doing in your own church. The key to your success is entering into what God is doing in for you, which means he has provided. And no two people look the same. Are you following me there? It's not, well, let me go and look at what my friend is doing. Then I look at it and then I copy so that I can succeed. Let me tell you this. Yes, you will succeed. In other words, on the outside, you will look like a successful person, but you'll be empty inside. I won't mention his name because he's gone home to the Lord, but he had the fastest growing church in Atlanta at one point. He said, let me tell you this. He said, I had a big church, but I was a small man. Big on the outside, small on the inside. He said, I took a gun to commit. All right? He said, double homicide and suicide. Kill my wife, the child, and then shoot myself. He said, when I got to my house, my wife had left with the child. That's what saved them and myself. He said, I'm standing here today because she left the house. I would have shot her, shot the child, and shot myself. So let's finish here. So you enter into what God, all right? That's the turning point. He trusted God to set him right instead of trying to be right on his what? On his own. Verse 4, he now tells us, if you're a hard worker, all right, you do a good job, you deserve your pay. We don't call your wages a gift. Verse 5, but if you see that the job is too big for you and it's something that God can do, and you trust him, in other words, that's where grace comes in. In other words, I'm saying to you that God, your grace has provided. I now simply want to download it. So if you're experiencing stagnancy, nothing new is happening, you've hit a plateau, God is simply calling you out. Those are indications that grace has something else for you other than what you are exercising yourself in now. That's all it means. You are struggling to produce, which means you've gone around, which means that level is over. There's something else God is calling to. That's all. The word of faith, I believe, is still the most powerful and potent force. The message you can give to a believer that they can practice every day and change their lives is the only thing you can give to a believer, and he can hold it and be practicing it by himself or herself and change their lives. The only problem that was word of faith there, right, was, oh, let's welcome my brother, Pastor Andy Osaki. All right? And his lovely wife, Pastor Andy. All right. But what we're doing was that we're trying to use faith, or using faith, to try to produce what we simply felt. Right? Faith is to be used to receive, all right, what God has provided, and not what we choose for him to do. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 13 tells us, we have received not the spirit of this world, verse 12. Not the spirit of this world, but the spirit who is of God, that we may do what? Know those things that are freely given to us of God. And then it tells us, which things now we also do what? Speak. So if you're going to move a mountain, which means when God shows you what he has planned, it appears impossible. And then with your words, you now start moving those things on the outside. Because that's what God has planned. So faith is hinged on what God has already done. He has already made the provision. When we pray, our prayer is not to cause God to hear a prayer for the first time and say, so what are we going to do about this? This should always be your prayer. God, you've provided something for this situation. You've provided something here. Open my eyes that I may see what you have provided. Full stop. You can never be hemmed in if you are walking by faith. Are you following what I'm saying? If you have a car that is attached to a company and they fired you, they took their car, all right, and your life revolves around, you must have a car. You just ask God, God, where is the next thing you have what? Provided. There's no bitterness here. He takes away the first to establish the second. Full stop. Are you following what I'm saying? If you are not angry at what you lost, what will come out to be far better than it? Second Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 14. Let me show you here that God makes. Look at what Paul said. Behold, all right, the third time I'm ready to come to you. Hear what he said. I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but parents for what? Children. If Paul is saying this, God has laid up something for you. But you know what Paul said there? Look at what Paul said there. He said, I seek, this is what God is saying. He said, I seek not yours, but you. What God is asking for is you, not anything. Do you get what I'm saying here? In other words, I've laid up everything, just give me yourself. Now, we don't want to give him ourselves. We want to choose what we want to do. He says, just give me yourselves. Just surrender and say, God, all right? And you buy Jesus and say, well, I don't know how this will go, but let's test you. And the Bible says, taste of the Lord and you will see that he is what? Good. I said this during crossover service. When the Bible says faith, or let's even look at it. Romans 8 verse 20, I want to show something here. When the Bible says, all right, so if this is the position God puts you when he's about to bring something massive. Put Romans 8 verse 20. All right, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected the same in hope. People have said it's Satan. It's not Satan, it's God. He says, God, all right, the creature, God subjects you to what you might consider to be vanity. Now, why am I going through what I'm going through? The Bible says he has done it in hope, which means he has something he wants to bring out. He has something he wants to bring. You know, we have a basketball hoop there. You can throw a basketball when ministers are coming in. So I said immediately after this, I'm going to make a video, all right, for Pastor Kilt Henderson that, listen, I'm open a challenge. Once you come in, you are going to have to throw this thing 3 times into it and get a shot here. And we'll do it live on Instagram. So I was saying, Portugal, I said, why? I said, he's a basketballer. Now, don't you know? He will have been in NBA if he didn't get injured. He said, that's why. I said, yeah, he's a skillful basketballer. He will have been in the NBA. But he preached there. He said, if I didn't get injured, I would have been in the NBA. But listen, I got injured that I might enter my calling. Some of you, God subjects you because of something he wants to bring out. You toiled all night and caught nothing because you are called to be an apostle to catch men. So he subjects you to vanity in the hope of what he wants to bring out. Now, let me show you how he brings it out. Next verse. It says, because the creature shall be delivered of bondage according to the glorious liberty of children of God. Next verse. He now says, for we know that the whole of creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but we ourselves that have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for adoption to know the redemption of our body. Verse 24. He says, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what does he hope for? In other words, what God wants to do, your eyes haven't seen it. The hope that God has. You see, most people, what they're praying about is, they see somebody's car, I name it, I claim it. Do you get what I'm saying here? They see somebody's church, I want that. They see somebody, I want that. That's not what God is saying. He's saying what no man's eyes have seen, what no man's ears have heard, what no man's heart has conceived. He wants you to be a marvel. Do you get what I'm saying here? So he subjects you and says, I hope he gets it. So how do you get it? He says, next verse there. He says that, but if we hope for that we see, all right, no, yes, verse 25. But if we hope for that which we see not, with patience we do what? We wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmity, for we know not what to pray for as we ought. In other words, that thing, we don't even know how to pray for it. So the Holy Ghost starts with travail to get out what God has put on the inside of you. And he that searcheth the heart will know what is the mind of the Spirit, because he's making intercession for you according to the will of God. I've said it many times here. What many people are calling their dream. If God makes you an offer, that dream will die. As I said, it will die. You tell, well, I have this business, I've got to do it. If you post something on Twitter and Elon Musk sends a private jet and lands in Motolama Media Airport, and they said, listen, the jet is right there. You say, but I don't have a visa. I say, forget about that. We said the jet is here. There's life beyond going to queue. Listen, and he says, we need you, and you are going on a visit to the White House. After that, you're going to help us run. So I said, all that, as you're saying it, all your vision will just do what? Die. You say, now I know what I'm being called to do. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah? Now, if that's God's will for you, you'll meet mountains there, but if you speak to those mountains, they'll move. Do you get what I'm saying? Same thing about work. Now, I want to play something here. All right, same thing about work. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. I want to say here. Anything you are doing with your hands now, in the sovereignty of God, he allowed you to be there because there's something he wants to bring out. I want to show something here. Put up Proverbs, put it in Amplified Version. All right, it says, commit your works unto God and your thoughts shall be what? Established. In other words, take your works, what you are doing, commit it to God and tell God, what is your own plan concerning this thing? I am what? Doing? I'm telling you that people are not hearing from God. You know, when I came out of school, I met a senior minister in this country. I couldn't believe when he told me. He told me, he said, we're in the airport. He said, nobody's hearing God again. No. We're just doing what we see. He told me this. A strong minister. He said, we're just doing what we see. So he says, commit it. Take it to God there. Now, and let me share here. And I want to stop and share something and play a prophecy by Kenneth Copeland. I want to share something here. You see, even in the field you are in, whether it's technology, business, and all of that, God has a plan. See, there are things he wants to bring out of you in that place that no man's eyes have seen, no man's ears have heard. There should be kingdom manifestation. Now, let me show you what caused the problem. Why the church took faith out of the... I want to read something to you in church history. Took faith out of the realm of anything intellectual. In other words, when it comes to intellectual stuff, and I'll play Copeland's prophecy 40 years ago, right? When somebody, we will talk about God blessing you, and we'll talk about, I don't want to criticize anybody, but we'll talk about this, money just coming to you. Without knowing, the greatest wealth comes from the ideas that are in there. If you get the next big idea on AI, you will be a billionaire. Nobody has to come and hand the money. Do you get what I'm saying here? He says the heavens will be opened. And he says, I will pour rain and bless the work of your hands. And you will lend unto nations and not borrow. Let me show you what caused the problem. And this is why in Europe, the churches are getting empty. One time I went to preach somewhere, I took a train there in France. Every place in France, through villages, the center of those villages, there were churches. Everything was built around the church. If you look at those churches now, they're depleted, all right? They have collapsed everything. People have forgotten about the church. They don't. And what caused the problem there? Something happened. All right, put up that write-up. Let me read to you. This is what happened here. Let me just read it here. Okay, put it up. The write-up, I said, the world works. In 1633, an aging Italian astronomer here named Galileo Galilei was taken before the Roman Inquisition, tried and convicted of heresy, and sentenced to spend the rest of his life in prison. He endorsed the idea proposed a century earlier by Galileo's crime. All right? The great Catholic astronomer, Nicolaus Copernicus, that the earth is not the center of the solar system. In fact, said Galileo, it is the other way around. The sun sits at the center, and the earth is simply one of a handful of planets that revolve around it. This idea was judged as being diametrically opposed to the position taken by Holy Scripture. Where did they get Scripture telling them? I don't know. Look up next thing here. Next slide. Galileo was forced to publicly recant his views, and his book containing the offending idea, Dialogue Concerning the Two Chief World Systems, was banned. The old man's sentence was later commuted to house arrest, and he lived out the rest of his days confined to his villa outside Florence, where he eventually went blind. This was something that was true, that later was found to be true. The church stopped it. Still, Galileo's views persisted. And the meticulous experiments and mathematical models he used in his search to understand nature set the stage for all the developments of modern science that followed three centuries later. A German physicist named Albert Einstein called him the father of modern what? Science. The person they said was heresy from scripture. Look at this. Oh, I want to see where the culture came from. For thousands of years leading up to the time of Galileo, the answer All right, science had been more interested in creating intellectually satisfying description of reality than in trying to see if those descriptions could be supported by proof. But with the age of Copernicus and Galileo, European scientists began vigorously to pursue, all right, the pursuit there of empirical evidence. Thought experiments gave way to actual physical ones. The French philosopher and mathematician René Descartes here, a contemporary of Galileo, who is today regarded as the father of modern philosophy, declared that the best way to understand, hear this, how the world works will be to divide its existence into two parts. Look at what he said. The objective of material world governed by principles of science and the subjective world of the mind and soul, which will be the providence of the world, church. They separated it. That's where science and church parted ways, which means that we're no longer play in that world. Are you following what I'm saying here? Because when they were trying to go into that world, they were thinking, the church came and said with scripture, you are talking heresy, carry the people, lock them up. So Europe said, if we are going to advance, please let church be what? Church. And let scientists be what? Science. So you know what happened? All the world of discovery where wealth was, the church was not playing there again. Don't we see today when television comes out, people first of all say television is demonic. AI has come now. They say AI is the end of the world. Are you following what I'm saying here? The hostility between. So you know what's happening? Our people in the marketplace are not downloaded anything. They don't even believe that God has, grace has provided mathematical calculations, science, models of business. We teach Christians on the streets how to receive money the way the priesthood does it. If you're a businessman, nobody is going to come and give you. Who is going to come and give you? You are in business. So you'll come and give you money. Give and shall be given. That's the limitation. I'm saying it's a limitation of the priesthood. So you find people in the world of business judging what they are doing by how a pastor will do what he's doing. The problem is that. Now, listen to what Kenneth Copeland said. This is 1984, 40 years ago. A friend sent it to me. He told me, said, Pastor, he works in, well, he's one of the intercessors in Kenneth Copeland's ministry. He told me, said, you've been preaching this thing from school. One time I did a webinar. I said, let me send you this prophecy. 40 years ago, I hope you understand what 40 years is. 40 years ago, there was nothing on the internet. 40 years ago, please play, listen to what Copeland said. Play it. Listen to what he's about to say.
spend quality time with me and listen and listen and listen and listen, you'll begin to know my voice. You'll begin to hear my voice. And many of you will have money enough in 1 year's time to build churches and to raise up great ministries and do it on your own pocketbook. I want my people to be rich. I want my people to be well off in this world. I do not want my people to be cut. I wanted to give one of my people the handheld computer industry. I wanted to give one of my people the microchip. I wanted to give it to some of my people. I held it back. I held it back. I held it back. I held it back until finally in the earth I had to have that technology here in order to cover the earth with my gospel, which will fill the earth with my glory. And so I had to release it into the hands of those that I could get through to. And some were my people and some were not. But most of those that were my people didn't know that it came from me.
He said, God said, I held it back, waiting for my people. I held it back. I held it back. When my people were not responding, I had to release it to people that were open to it. That's where the wealth was. That's where it was. He says, I held it. Did you hear what he said? Handheld computer. I hope you know what he's talking about. The microchip. He was talking about this 1984. He was saying those things were to happen. And that the world was ready. They opened themselves. That's why people are telling us, how come you talk prosperity, but people in the world are prospering more than people in the church? That's the reason. What happened in 1633, when there was a separation, church people no longer. In fact, when he says, I will open the windows of heaven and I will pour you out blessings that you know that. That word blessing there means, I will pour you out utterances in the spirit. He wasn't talking about anything physical. He was talking about a rain of ideas. But you know, people focus more. They believe I'm serving God in church. When I go into the world, I'm in the world. That's what Jesus was saying. He says, don't pray like the heathen. If you don't have enough money to eat, it's because there's an idea I want to give to you. It's not the next meal I want to give you. He said, look, I subjected you to vanity so you could look up to me. Do you get what we're saying here? He said, if you don't have money for house rent, he says, because grace has provided something, come and receive it. But what you are receiving is what you can see, not what you can't see. So someone says, I want to pray. That's what I'm saying. I will name it and claim it. Oh, it's a new model of car. I want to believe. That's, we've centered it on materialistic things. When he says, I'll give you the unsearchable riches of Christ. What's the unsearchable riches of Christ there? Look, you shouldn't leave this world without a legacy of putting an idea in this world. Are you, as a Christian, that's your legacy. That you change systems, you change models. That because you came, people now have this new experience on this earth. How will those people be rewarded with material and wealth? Let me close this thing out here. So what's God telling us to do? Romans chapter 5, verse 1 to verse 2, verse 1 and 2. Quickly, I put in the Message translation. I believe it's Message. All right? What translation did I read there? Put the NIV. Let me see. NIV. I think it's Message. Okay, put the Message. All right, yeah. Put Message. Verse 1. By entering into faith into what God has already wanted to do for us, setting us right with Him, make us fit for Him. We have it all together because with God, all right, our Master Jesus. Verse 2, and that's not all. We throw open our doors to God and discover at the moment He has already what? Thrown open His doors to us. So what I'm trying to urge you to do is that open to God. Don't go to God with a closed door. In other words, I've already decided what will happen. Open it. That's what it means to put your trust in Him. Open it and say, all right, God, 2024, I will follow what you say. Open it. Just reveal to me. I will follow you. Can be trusted. You're a God of love. The earth that we came into, God had already prepared it. The last thing he created was man. He had already prepared everything. He didn't create us to be engaged in it. Do you get what I'm saying here? He created the garden before he brought man. What he wants to bring you into, he's already created it. He's waiting. Well, why don't people hear? Because they haven't opened their doors to God. They come to God with closed doors. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. It says, I come now and I knock. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice, which means the only way you can hear that voice is by opening up that door. And how do we open the door? We go there in praise. In Psalm 24, verse 7, lift up your head, ye gates. Be ye lifted up, you everlasting doors. And let the King of glory do what? Come in. Who is the King of glory? He says, the Lord strong and mighty. When you open it up and say, Lord, I have seen many things, but what are you saying to me? And you open up, he says, listen, I want you. Once I have you, I will pour out everything that I will give, all right, I want to give. So we go up to him and worship him. And he opens up, and we open up because his doors are already open. He said, all day long, I open my hand, stretch forth my hand. Let me tell you this, God has stretched forth his hand. He's saying, listen, I would have gathered together all these things. His hands are open. Listen, what you are struggling, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, come to me. He says, I will give you rest. That word in Message Translation, pull it up. He says, you will enter into the unforced rhythms of grace. Listen, he says, walk with me, walk with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the word on first rhythms of what? Grace. Where things are working faster than you yourself can catch up with. That's what he says. Open the door. He says, come in. He says, once you labor and you are heavy laden, just know that in my sovereignty, there is something I am not seeing. I mean, when he told them, this is how grace, we need to understand that in God, sweating is a curse. To get things done with sweat is a curse. The priests were not allowed to sweat in his presence. They couldn't wear clothes that would sweat. Once you start sweating and you're struggling, it means that, you are out of the presence. I was sharing the pastor's Sunday story that we don't even think about it. That when Jesus sent them, he said, go and get that colt that is tied. He said, when you get there, if they ask you, tell them the Lord has need of it and they'll say you should be going. Now, I hope you understand, if they think otherwise, that's theft. It's like saying there's a BMW, go and start it. When the owner comes, tell the owner, the Lord has need of it, he will let you be driving. I hope you know, if you are wrong, you are heading to prison. Risky thing. But where there is grace, not that you said you heard, but you actually heard. And let me tell you the truth, we don't want to say. Everybody that hears takes something and lays it on the altar. Catherine Coleman said, who was probably one of the most anointed healing people, said, I can take you to the spot where I died. He said, you ask me, I will take you to the day and the place where I surrender to God. He said, sometimes I think about what I gave up and I cry. He said, but I am carrying this grace because I died somewhere. The biggest idol is not a car, it's not a job, it's not anything, it's self. That's why the Bible says that death worketh in us, that the life of Jesus may be made manifest. Any manifestation you see on the outside, something died somewhere. Somebody looked at something and God said, look, this is my plan, let's go with it. And when they entered into God's plan, and they saw how green pastures, they'll tell you it is good to do what? To obey God. A friend of mine was in school. He was vice president of fellowship. He was trying to travel. He did everything. You know, back then, there was no biometrics, all of that. So you can change your name. You can grow a beard. And you now reapply. So you adjust your middle name. You know, back then, maybe too young to know. There was no... So he adjusted everything. He said one day he read the scripture. Says, rend your hearts, not your garments. He said, I'll fast. Says, heart smote you. He gave up. his dream, that way of traveling, says, that's it, I will obey God. He took a job. He had not spent 8 months in the job. The company in Chicago said, this guy is brilliant. We need him. Bring him from Lagos office to Chicago. He didn't even go to where they apply for visa. The company took it and did it. I said, when you follow God, what you are trying to do will be a fraction of what he brings. But to preach a gospel without the altar is to tell you a lie. That anything you want, just go to him, he will give you. We are lying. It is what he has provided, he gives. How do you know if your father says, I love you, while he was alive, you know, you are my best child, I love you very much, and the man has $100 million, it's now time, he reads the will to you. And in the will, he says, give so and so 5,000 naira. You know he doesn't love you. You know that he doesn't love you, that this man was lying to me. So if God says, I love you, it is through his will for you, you will know. It's the inheritance he has left for you that will show you. What I'm trying to convince you is that, listen, drop it and go to God. What you, all right, went to God. And I'll say this. Let me just say this here. I'm sure you'll allow me to say this. I had a pastor back then, Pastor Luke Johnson Ibadan. He came from a very wealthy family, extremely wealthy family in Nigeria. His father's brother was governor of Lagos, Mobile Johnson, wealthy. When he came back from England, from Imperial College, and was teaching us in church, that's why I say God uses things. He was teaching, this guy was in Imperial College in England, doing PhD in communication engineering. He was teaching us, all right, in church, inside a small school. They were just small chairs. I know. He used to, when he started teaching, he used to wear Giorgio Armani suits, Gianni Versace. That's right. But because it's a small church and all of that, after some time, it was time when Taylor wrong. You know what I mean? That's, Taylor is the one that sold it. He went to get a tailor that sold all the suits. He went down. One day, he was doing counseling for somebody. Counseling. I was walking past. Well, very few. He told the young guy, he said, listen to me. There's nothing you give up for God that God will not give it back to you in multiple forms. Today, you can buy any of those suits out, and it's in the center of God's will. I'm telling you that people are trying to use faith for what they never heard God on. You have to trust him. It is the land that will do what? Show you. It's not the one you choose. Those who chose, you saw the end of it. You don't know. Lot. If you let him show you, there'll be no problem. And what he shows you, I hope you know that what he shows you will be bigger than anything you can do yourself. That's why it was a land, there were giants there. That's where your faith is going to work. Because God did what? Showed you that land. So let me close by showing this grace-filled life. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Quickly, I have 4 minutes. To verse 33. It says, Romans 9, sorry. 26 to 23 here. I'll close with this. And it shall come to pass that in the place, and this is the remnant of God. Listen. In every generation, there's a conscious minority that carries the rest. When you say there's a move of God in a generation, it's a conscious minority that is carrying that entire generation. Which means a group of people that are carrying that entire generation. A conscious minority. Very people, if you listen to it, you see any church, you see any move of God, there's a conscious. In science, is what you call the nucleus. In other words, there's a conscious minority there that are carrying the load of that thing and getting that thing done. Now, everybody is enjoying it, but some conscious. Now, let me show you how the conscious minority gets it. Look at what it says here. Romans 9 here. It shall come to pass in the place where it was said, you are not my people. There they shall be called the children of the living God. Verse 27. Isaiah also cried out, though the number of children be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. Verse 28, he will finish his work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. Verse 29, Isaiah said before, except the Lord had left for us a seed, we had been as Sodom and Gomorrah, all right, made like Gomorrah. Verse 30, what shall we say then? That the Gentiles that followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, which is the righteousness that is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the right law of righteousness, had not attained to the law of righteousness. The reason, wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law, and they stumbled on that stumbling stone. Next verse. As it is written, it says, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense. Whosoever believeth on him shall be saved. Now look at Romans chapter 11, verse 5 to verse 7. All right, it's talking about that conscious minority. Look at what it says here. Even so at this present time, this is what Paul said, present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Verse 6. And if it's by grace, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Here's the catch. What then? Israel had not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. The rest were what? Blinded. In other words, the people that enter this conscious minority are the ones that have their eyes open. They're the ones that enter into grace, which means God opens their eyes. They go to God in prayer and say, God, open my eyes. Let me, show me what you want to do. And when they see it, they enter into that particular thing and grace goes with them. So a person like Paul, he said, when they saw the grace that was given unto me, he says, he that walketh, all right, in Peter, towards the Jews, was mighty in me. He says there, towards the Gentiles. If Paul went to the Jews, there will have been no grace. His eyes were open. God showed him that, look, you are to go to Gentiles. And Peter, you know, it is new, this thing we are doing in ministry. When they say, what's the key to success? Go and look at what somebody else is doing and do it. They weren't doing this thing in the 80s. I'm telling you, it is creating Ishmaels, not Isaacs. Ishmael looks like Isaac, but he's not Isaac. I'm telling you that I look at what somebody else is doing. If I look at what somebody else is doing, it inspires me to go to God. What have you provided for me? It's not that I look at somebody and I say, so what are they doing there? And people start doing things, unethical things. Go to him in prayer. Even Joshua, he didn't part the Jordan the way Moses parted the Red Sea. He parted the Jordan. God taught him how to do it. He saw it. That's why grace came. If he just said, okay, let me be like Moses. So how did Moses do it? Moses told the children, go forward. Then he took a rod and lifted it. Oh, yeah, first of all, go and look for the rod. Then tell the people, go forward. Because what God told him, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. That, you know, you can say that. I say, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. So the meaning of it is take the rod. You should take the rod and you'll be there. You'll be there. People receive their own remas. See, I'm saying this, I'm not saying my own time. Listen. If a man person, just give an example, once I meet Pastor Dube, I say, Pastor Dube, please come and lay hands on me. Eh? If he hears from God, go into villages in India and go and win souls. Pastor Dube doesn't do that, but he has received the rema. I lay hands on me for an impartation of grace. All right? Grace will be imparted. Not that you didn't hear anything and say, what you are doing, I like it. I too want it. Hear me, oh, and I'll close with this. Elijah didn't lay hands on Elisha. Oh. You hear what I said? Elijah didn't say, come. His hand says. What he told Elisha was, if you see me when I'm taken up, what it meant was this. If you see the way I am seeing when I go, what I have will be yours. It was spiritual. In other words, if you see the way I am what? Seeing. Which means your eyes are opened the way. He says, you have it. He didn't. That's how he got a double portion of that particular thing. So go to God in prayer and ask him, what is it? And first, open your doors. Don't go with a closed door, which means, God, whatever you say, shall. Whatever you say. You know, let me say this here. I don't know why I keep going to ministry. Ask any of the top generals in this country. Because you have churches, AC, they look like CEOs. So you can desire that. But back then, there was nothing comely that you desire. If you are going to ministry, God called you. There was no career in it. Do you get what I'm saying here? So anybody that went into ministry, God called them. The first day I ever saw Pastor Adebo in my life, and I'm saying this here, a minister's conference. Let me tell you the people that were there. Pastor Adebo, Dr. Chidi Ojoda, Pastor Matthew Ashimolo, Bishop David Oyedepo, and Bishop Wale Oke. Five of them. The building we were in, if you take this pillar to this pillar to this place, that's the size of it. Uncompleted. The walls were not plastered. The bricks were on it. That's where the minister's conference was. Heat was coming from everywhere. They sat on small chairs. I will never forget something Pastor Adebayo said. He got up, he just said, listen, you people call us old school. Better find out why we are old. Then he turned around and said, you come, if you are truly anointed, you see into the realm of the spirit and the physical realm at the same time. Pastor Jordan just said, he just moved. He said, that's right. I never forgot it. That's where it was. If anybody was going to ministry, that was your future. It's not this, oh, carpet, this one, that there's no difference between you and CEO of bank. That's the future. Now, people are going with hope that is sin. Then we went with hope that is not sin. So it's more difficult to be accurate now than then. Because where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Where there's nothing, there's a great, you get what I'm saying? But when you can see, it's easy to see. If you marry the pastor then, you are finished. Listen, I know somebody, a family friend. The daughter says, marrying a pastor. The father refused. He said, you marry pastor. He was a judge of Supreme Court. You marry pastor. Impossible, not here. 7 times she asked him, refused. He said she went to God. And God said, go and do this. She just walked up to him, said, went to meet him, and just knelt before him. I will ask you one more time. If your answer is no, I will obey it. But this is the man I want to marry. But I'm on my knees. If you say no, that is the end. And the father looked and said, go and marry. Now, in fact, my mother said, I'm very proud, you know, the top jobs now. Pastor, so I'm always happy when I say my son is a pastor. Yeah, I'm a pastor. But it is harder to get into the accurate will of God now than it was then. Do you get what I'm saying here? Because if a pathway has been created, it is easy for you to follow that pathway, which may not necessarily be the will of God for you. You will drive the car, but you'll be sweating inside. You'll stand with the mic, but you'll be empty. While you are preaching, the business you are doing will be more important to you than the message. Are you following what I'm saying? Because you are not in the center of what he says. So everybody should find out from God. That's to agree. Two can't work together except they be agreed. And God is not coming to meet you where you are. You are going to meet him where he is. I hope you understood this message. Yes, sir. Tomorrow we'll look at, after you hear, the process of you believing. And then we'll talk about speaking in my own, all right, sessions. All right, let us take a one song of thanksgiving, and then I bring up Pastor Andres, okay, just one song of thanksgiving before we do that.
This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.